Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily devotional designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. We read this passage, and then we'll get started. John, chapter 14. Jesus said this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may be where I also am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." First, let's read it in. I think there's something very interesting taking place in this passage. Little comment that sometimes gets thrown away, and maybe we read this passage and don't feel the angst that the disciples would have felt as they're having this conversation with Jesus. See, this is all taking place in what theologians call the upper room discourse. This is the final instructions Jesus is giving to his disciples before his death and resurrection. And we know that they don't fully understand all of what's about to happen. They have a sense that something big is going to happen, and they've known for a while that to come to Jerusalem, where they now are, would not be a safe place for them to be. There's a lot of unknown. They are looking ahead to the future and don't know what it holds, but they know that what will happen in the next coming days is dangerous. All of what transpires is still foggy to them. And you get a sense of their angst when the disciples interact with the things that Jesus is saying about going somewhere. And they ask him, "Tell us where you're going. We don't know the way to where you're going. We don't know all of what you're saying. We don't understand all of what you're saying." And Jesus speaks to them in this moment of the unknown as they stare down what is unknown. And he says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I like the phrasing of that, because it makes me think of how often I actually feel this inner turmoil when I look down ahead and into the unknown. There's a trouble that I have, a restlessness that I feel, a bubbling up anxiety that I feel about what is coming. And, you know, our modern solution to that feeling today seems to be, as best we can, to avoid trouble. To avoid those opportunities that, you know, weigh on us, that stress us out, make us anxious, or that lead to like a troubledness in our spirit. We chase those kinds of things away and kind of stick only to what we know and can taste, touch, feel, and things that we can even control. And yet we don't live in a world where we can control the future. We don't live in a world where we get to call the shots on what is going to happen next. And I think what we desperately need in our own discipleship as we follow Jesus is not a pattern of avoiding hard things, but a way to endure through hard things. And that's what I love about the simplicity of what Jesus offers to his followers right at the beginning of this passage. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And what he's saying in that moment is, don't just intellectually understand the things that I've told you, but in your belief, in your faith, demonstrate an allegiance to me, that you are behind me, following me, because where I am going, you will also go too. It's a way for Jesus to say in the most tactile way, I've got you. And so he can offer this simple counsel that we need to be able to recall day in and day out. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, let's pray it up. And I invite you to take a moment and pause after I share some of these prayer requests. Pause the recording and give yourself space to pray and spend an extended period praying back to the Lord some of the things that we just talked about in John chapter 14. Here's the first prayer point. You know, every single one of us have something going on in our lives that make us feel anxious. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord to reveal what you are actually tense about right now. What is troubling your heart? Maybe you're anxious about an upcoming project at work, and not just the work itself, but the fallout of what could happen if it doesn't go the way you're hoping. Maybe there's a particular relationship with a spouse or a family member that has fractured, and you stare down the unknown of what happens if you can't get it repaired, if you can't fix it. Ask the Lord now that you would be brought into his presence in such a way where your heart is not troubled. Not because you don't care, but because far more than you trust your ability to solve this problem, you trust him. And finally, let's live it out. Let's live it out. We don't want to be hearers of the word only. We want to be doers of the word. Now, in all of our avoidance of hard things in this life, I think there is a sense in which we can get so consumed with self-protection that we fail to live what I think the gospel really does call us to, risky lives for the sake of Jesus, right? Where we do encounter hard things, where we don't have all of the answers put together before we take a risky step for the kingdom. What would it look like for you today to step out knowing that what you encounter may be hard, but your heart doesn't have to be troubled? Your heart doesn't have to be hardened. What does it look like for you to step out in such confidence today in God's ability to provide for you that you set aside the fear of what might happen and embrace the trust of what God promises to do in and through your life? Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.